Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. Whether it's your first time with us or your 1,000th time with us, we welcome you warmly to this time of worship, and a warm welcome as well to those who are watching online via our streaming services and on catch-up service during the week. Welcome to worship all. And that is one of my favorite sounds to hear in a church, by the way. Just a couple intimations to share at the start of our time together today. As we may know, over the Christmas celebration, we had a specified charity for our retiring offerings, the Aberdeen Cyrenians, and I'm pleased to say that over the course of three services, we raised a good sum of £651.26 for that very worthy cause. So thank you all. Quite literally not bad for a day's work. But thank you all for contributing generously to that very worthwhile cause. Just a gentle reminder that our Winnowers Bible reading group, which meets on Tuesday mornings with me downstairs in the church center to discuss the text for the coming Sunday, that will resume on the 9th of January at 12:30 p.m., and all are warmly welcome to that. In our particular expression of the Christian faith, the Presbyterian tradition, we affirm two sacraments, baptism and communion, and it's our pleasure today to celebrate both of these sacraments in one service. So it's going to be a nice, light, and easy service with no moving parts whatsoever. But later on when we celebrate communion, we're trying a new style. We tried it once last month, and of course we learned a lot from that experiment. So hopefully it'll be just a bit more fine-tuned today. But instead of bringing the elements out into the congregation, we ask those who are able, upon receiving invitation, to come forward to the base here to receive the bread and the cup. And a couple things about that, because we're still learning the system. When you take the bread, please don't be dainty, okay? Don't take the tiniest little piece of bread you can possibly grasp with a tweezer, but take a big chunk of bread, because we dip it into the cup. So it's easier if you have a good size piece of bread. As my wife would say, she's not here, she says, take a big chunk of Jesus, okay? But so please do that. And if you're on this side of the church, when you come up, cycle back around that way, okay, back to your seats. If you're in the front curved part of this side, you can cycle back around to your seats. If you're in the back four, and I see quite a few back there as well, there'll be room for you to come up this way and then return back the center aisle as well. Cycle around, come back the center aisle. We'll see how this goes. And if, for whatever reason, yes, indeed. Oh boy, nothing like a live performance. And if for whatever reason you're unable or uncomfortable coming forward, we'll have servers in the back who'll keep an eye out for yourselves, and they're happy to serve you in your seat as well. And that goes for people up in balcony as well. If you prefer to stay up there, we'll bring the elements to you. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family? Yes, Anne. Okay. Sorry, so 48 Sundays have been covered, but we're in need of the last four. So please speak with Anne if you're able to help fill in those last four Sundays for the flower calendar. Thank you, Anne. Any other intimations to share at the start of our time of worship? Well, with those shared, let us enter into our time of worshiping God through song. We're singing our first song of praise, From the Breaking of the Dawn. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemnay and beyond will be uplifted.
Thank you. Let's pray. Loving God, we come before you this morning to give thanks for the many gifts and blessings that you have given to us. We give you thanks for our environment here in Kemnay, Lord, and for the people and services in it. We thank you also for our church service here today and for those involved in it. We give thanks for the gifts that you have given to all of us, and we thank you for the gifts of technology and those who work it, for our musical gifts to the organists and the praise band, and also for the gift of preaching to our minister, Joshua. We thank you for all those involved in the preparation of our service and ask that they continue to be blessed through their service. We thank you for your presence in the year past. We pray that you continue to be with us in the year to come to know you better. Merciful God, we come before you today as sinners. We know that we continually let you down through our thoughts, actions, and words. Lord, we are often quick to judge others and be selfish of ourselves, and for this we are sorry. We pray for our forgiveness, Lord, and ask that the Holy Spirit may help and guide us towards the light. We thank you that we have the chance to be forgiven at the foot of the cross. We also thank you for the gifts of baptism, and especially for little Douglas. We pray that he and the Nesbitt family may feel the presence and the love of God at this special time. We also give you thanks for the gift of communion today. We thank you for the chance to come to the table of the Lord to be forgiven and reborn. We ask that you bless our offerings of our time, talents, and money this morning, Lord. We pray that it may benefit the work of the church here in Kemnay and further afield. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Peter. Continue to worship our God through song with singing our next hymn of praise, O God, our help in ages past.
Come
we said at the start of our time together, it's our privilege today to celebrate the sacrament of baptism, of Douglas's grafting in to the body of Christ. So now I would invite Matthew and Faye forward with Douglas, and Richard and Catherine forward as godparents for Douglas. He looks nice and warm and cozy in his blanket. I'm jealous. It's a real privilege to have you with us today, though, to celebrate this wonderful occasion in your family's life. Hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "All authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. Behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hear also these words from Scripture, from the mouth of the Apostle Paul, who teaches us, "As many of you as were baptized into Jesus Christ, you have clothed yourself anew with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free, no longer male or female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus." And in obedience to the word of our Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize that in baptism, God claims us as his own children and seals us to show that we belong to him. In Jesus Christ, God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his glorious resurrection. And by water and by the Holy Spirit, we are joined together with the church throughout the ages, which is the body of Christ. So in this time, in this place, let each of us remember with joy our own baptism into unity with Christ. So on this day, on behalf of the session of this church, I now ask Matthew and Faye and Richard and Catherine to respond to the following questions. First, for Matthew and Faye. Matthew, Faye, in this time and place, do you reaffirm your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, "We do." Do you turn again and again to Jesus Christ, accepting him every day as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love as sufficient for your lives? If so, please say, "We do." Do you desire this day that your son Douglas be baptized into the Christian faith? If so, please say, "We do." I assumed as much, but relying on God's grace, do both of you, as Douglas's parents, promise to model the Christian faith to him, to teach that faith to your son, to the best of your abilities? If so, please say, "We do." The fifth question, Richard and Catherine, please come forward. Sponsors and godparents play a special role in the life of every child. It is your calling to support Matthew and Faye in friendship and love, to hold Douglas in constant prayer as he grows to know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of his life. So I ask you, by relying on the grace and mercy of God, do you today promise to love and support Matthew and Faye in their Christian calling to be parents to Douglas as they seek to live their lives in a way that shows Jesus to him and to the wider world? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
Very good. The sixth question, nice and loud, I like that. The sixth and seventh questions are for the congregation, so I ask those who are able, please stand now. Do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, as part of this family of faith, do you promise to support Matthew and Faye, to guide and nurture them and their children, Rona, Finley, and Douglas, by word and deed, with love and prayer? Do you encourage them to know and follow Jesus Christ? If so, please say, "We do."
We do.
The next question. This is a special occasion, being on the cusp of the new year. So on this day, as a sign of the unity that we all enjoy together in Jesus Christ, do we at this time reaffirm the covenant that we have made as individuals and as a body with our Lord and our Savior? In 2018, will we, by the grace of God, strive to live more deeply into our faith? Will we seek true fellowship with our fellow believers? Will we seek to share our faith with others in thought, in word, and deed? If so, please say all, "By the grace of God, we will."
By the grace of God, we will.
I like that. Congregation, may be seated. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit hovered over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your spirit. By the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ has set us free from the chains of sin and death and reopened the way to life everlasting for all who believe. We thank you, O God, for these waters of baptism, for in them we are buried with Christ in his death. In them we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through them we are all reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now it's time for the baptism. What is the full name of your son?
Douglas Allen Monroe Nesbitt.
Very good. May I bring him forward for baptism, please? Douglas Allen Monroe Nesbitt, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you now and forevermore. Now we sing together our baptismal song, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. Well, thank you, Sheila, very much. Wow, that's very well behaved, Douglas. You're off to a great start right there as well. So the light, we're not clapping yet. The light that we have given today represents the light of Jesus Christ, the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness has not and will never overcome it. This light shines for each of us. This light shines now for Douglas as well, as a member of a family of faith. Douglas has been enfolded into the covenant of grace that we have reaffirmed today, the covenant between God and his people. Matthew, Fay, we rejoice with you in your son's baptism. May the Lord bless you and your house in the time that is to come. And we clap. Now, Catherine, the first duty of the godmother is to make sure that flame stays lit for the rest of the service. It does not. You can extinguish it when you return to your seats. But thank you again for allowing us to take part in the celebration today.
The Bible reading today is taken from the New Testament and Timothy. You'll find it on page 1195, if you want to follow it there. It's chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hard-working farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ with eternal glory. Here is a trustworthy saying: if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Amen. And may God help us to truly understand the meaning of those words.
Thank you, Jim. We continue to worship our God through song. We're singing our next hymn of praise, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. Let us pray. Almighty God, another year has come and gone. Through it all, through the joys, through the sorrows, through the blessings, through the struggles, you have walked with each of us every step of the way. As we pause to reflect and meditate together on your holy word, we pray that you will help each of us to take fresh stock of our lives, especially how we might follow you more closely as Lord and Savior. In this time, we pray that you will calm our hearts and quiet our minds, that we may hear you speaking to us. In this time, may we decrease. May you increase until you are everything to us and in us. We pray these things to you, Father, through the Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Here we are again, on the verge of another new year. I don't know about you, but in some ways, it feels like we were just here, anticipating that leap from 2016 into the uncharted waters of 2017. And now here we are again, about to say farewell to 2017 and begin the next step of our journey of faith into 2018. Milestones come in all shapes and sizes, don't they? In my view, milestones offer us excellent opportunities for reflection about where we have been, where we are at, where we hope to go next, God willing. Anyone who reads the news with any sort of regularity, and it's hard to escape the news these days, I think, will have no need to hear in detail today about the challenges and the obstacles that our world has faced in 2017. If anything, I'm tempted to think that our 24/7 news cycle makes it almost impossible for us to avoid it. We're almost too aware of all the bad things that happen in the world at the expense of the good things that have taken place in 2017. It's easy for us to lose sight of all the ways that, even in the midst of darkness and struggle, how God is still Lord, how he still upholds his creation, how he still guides all things to the great day when Christ will be all in all. And even a cursory glance online shows several things that I think we can give thanks for over the past year. Throughout the world, greater strides are being taken in gender equality between men and women. 2017 was a year when we witnessed a significant lack of tolerance towards people who have made a living making other people feel like something less than equals. Much is still to be done, but I hope and I pray that this trend towards equality and mutual respect between women and men will continue strongly in 2018. In my home country of the United States, there has been continually stiff resistance towards the government's attempt to ban people from the country based solely on their country of origin. We can pray, I think, that 2018 will be a time that is marked by deepened compassion for the plight of our neighbors, whether they be next door to us or 4,000, 6,000 miles away. We know that this last year we witnessed a significant number of natural disasters and human-made tragedies, such as Hurricane Harvey in Texas, bombing in Manchester, the shooting in Las Vegas, the terror attacks in London, just to name a few. But we must not forget about the response to those tragedies as well. Time and again, countries and people came together to show the world, people of faith, people of no faith, all saw that love is stronger than fear, that life is stronger than death. Most of us know the remarkable story about Malala Yousafzai, that young Pakistani girl who was shot in the head at the age of 15 by the Taliban for her desire to receive an education. Well, in 2017, She turned 20 years old, and she began her studies at the University of Oxford. That's a remarkable story, and we hope that her advocacy and her influence will continue to grow over time. And last but not least, 2017 saw the Cleveland Browns, an American football team, they remained the most consistent team in football by not winning a single game. So just in case my Seahawks are eliminated tonight from the playoffs, I remember it could have been much, much worse. It's very easy to focus on the negative. It's easier to lose sight of the positive things that are happening in our world. But milestones such as New Year's or baptism give us a chance to reflect more holistically on life, to remember where we have been, to remember that life with all of its ups and all of its downs is a gift from God and worth living. This morning we are engaging with a text from Scripture which reads like its own kind of milestone, which seems to be all about a reflection on what has come to pass in the life and ministry of the Apostle Paul. Today's text from 2 Timothy that Jim read for us a few moments ago is one of the letters ascribed to the Apostle Paul. The New Testament is made up of 27 distinct books. 13 of those bear Paul's name. So it's safe to say that he has had and will have tremendous influence on how we understand our faith, and we do well to listen to his teaching. Most reputable scholars believe that 2 Timothy is the last letter that we have from the Apostle Paul. And on this last day of the year, it seemed fitting to read from his last letter. When we read through this letter as a whole, it's not that long. It reads like a letter from someone who has lived a rich, varied, and full life, and who has now accepted that the work he began will be carried on by others, such as Timothy, to whom the letter is addressed. 2 Timothy reads very differently from Paul's first letter that he wrote that we have, which is probably 1 Thessalonians. If you read 1 Thessalonians and then read 2 Timothy, you think these are very different letters in content and style. 1 Thessalonians is full of what I can only call a youthful, fiery, evangelistic enthusiasm. 2 Timothy is a different letter. Paul's passion for the gospel is undiminished, but time and experience have shaped him as they shape all of us. From the very start of this letter, Paul's words are an exhortation to Timothy to hold fast what he knows to be true about the gospel. He wrote, "Be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men or faithful people who will also teach the same to others." Throughout his own ministry, Paul knew the importance of staying focused and staying faithful to his calling. And in this letter, he calls on Timothy to do the same by using a variety of imagery, such as the militaristic imagery of a soldier serving in an army, or an athlete who wins glory by competing in accordance with the rules, or a farmer whose hard work and labor earns him the first share of a bumper crop. These are all vivid images that impress upon Timothy the importance of staying faithful and striving well in his calling. To put it simply, Paul intended to remind Timothy in this last letter that we have, and he reminds us as well that obedience to Jesus, following Jesus, is not part of our life. It is our life. We should be able to relate every aspect of our lives to our identity as Christians. Jesus tells us as much in different words in his Sermon on the Mount when he told the crowd that heard him that no person can fully serve two masters, Matthew 6:24. This is a warning to us that if we seek to live as people of divided loyalties, if we seek to constrain God to just a part of our lives, if we reserve parts for God and parts for others, then we will never live in the way that we are intended to live. Rather, we can and we should work, eat, sleep, and play in ways that bring honor to the name of Jesus. Each dimension of our life can and should be an act of worship. This has been a theme for us here in Kemne Parish Church in 2017, this year which started last January with our Reframe Discipleship Initiative over in the church center. Reframe talked all about how do we live as disciples of Jesus Christ in the modern world. How do we stay faithful to Jesus? And that is very much a theme of our passage from 2 Timothy 2. I have to say another great thing about 2017 was the abundance of many quality television programs. We live in a day and age now where there is more good television than we have time to watch in any given week. One of my personal favorites from the last year was a TV program called The Crown. Has anybody watched The Crown on Netflix? A few hands have come up, yes. If you haven't seen it, either buy a subscription to Netflix or bum it off a friend and watch it. It's well worth watching. The TV series The Crown chronicles the life and reign of Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II. Each season is one decade of her life. So we can imagine they're planning at least 7 more seasons. Remarkable. In one episode from this last season, the second decade of her life, the Queen extends an invitation to preach to the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham. And in real life, the friendship between Reverend Graham and Her Majesty is well documented, well known. But in this particular scene, it shows Billy Graham up in the pulpit at the start of his sermon, and he starts with what he calls a simple yet fundamental question. What is a Christian? His answer to that question is equally simple and equally profound. A Christian is a person in whom Jesus Christ dwells. A Christian is a person in whom Jesus Christ dwells. Now, I've just said that our faith should touch every aspect of our lives, and I stand by that. But it's even more important to remember why we live out our faith. We might be tempted to think we live out our faith because it's the right thing to do, or we want to be good, moral people. Those are fine things, and those are commendable. But it's much, much deeper than that. Everything we say, think, and do as Christians is because of Jesus Christ who dwells within us. It is because of Jesus Christ risen from the dead, which is what Paul wrote to Timothy in verse 8. Remember Jesus and his resurrection from the dead. Paul knew that if Timothy lost sight of that, then everything else he did or said would be in vain. And the same is true for us, that we can give everything we have, all of our time to church, all of our time to other people, but if we lose sight of the reason for what we do, which is Jesus, then everything else we do is in vain and will not enhance and expand the gospel. So if we lose sight of Jesus, everything is in vain. But if we hold fast to this central, fundamental truth of the gospel, then no matter what, we will never be completely wrong. I'm an optimist by nature, you can tell. If we hold fast to that kernel of truth, the heart of our faith, we will never go fully astray. We will always have something of truth to share with the world. And this passage that Jim read for us concludes with what reads like a piece of poetry in the last few verses. Paul writes, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. It's quite poetic, isn't it? This is most likely, we think, a hymn sung by the ancient church that Paul was quoting, because they would have known this quite well. It's like if you walk down the street today and you quote a song lyric to somebody, they know it, that I recognize that. That's what Paul was doing here. He was quoting something that the believers would have known very well by heart. These words are poignant for us today, because even though it is not mentioned by name in this ancient Christian hymn that Paul quotes, this hymn refers implicitly to the covenant made between God and God's people. And by nature, a covenant is a very special thing. Covenant is a sacred agreement between two parties. And from start to finish, Scripture speaks of our relationship with God within the framework of a covenant. In a covenant, each party receives benefits and expectations from the other party. Covenants are give and take between people who are equal in nature. And the first part of this ancient Christian hymn reads in this way: if we endure, our side, we will reign with him, God's side. If we deny God, our side, God will deny us. The first part reads as an either or, clear choice, clear consequences. But does it end there? Is that the last line of the hymn? Are we, as people of faith, walking through life, teetering on a tightrope between eternal reward and eternal punishment? Or is there more to the story? Is there more to this passage of Scripture? Is there more to this covenant that God has made with us, his people? It doesn't end there. The truth is that God's covenant with us, the covenant described in this passage, in this ancient Christian hymn, the covenant that we have affirmed today, the covenant into which Douglas was baptized this morning, is very different from any other covenant ever. How is it different? God's covenant with us is the most lopsided, unbalanced, unfair covenant that has ever or will ever exist. There is nothing fair about this covenant to God. Even if we are faithless, it says, he remains faithful. For God cannot, will not deny himself. If it was up to us, our covenant with God would have ended before it even began. Scripture is littered with human examples of human faithlessness, cowardice, retreat, Old and New Testament alike. Whether it's Jonah running from God, Peter denying Jesus, we see these examples littered throughout, but that's not the point of Scripture. The point of Scripture is not to point out what we know all too well, that we are not perfect, that we fall short. The point of Scripture, my friends, is to show us that God is faithful. Always. There is nothing we can do or say to nullify God's promises. Nothing we can do to break away from the God who loves us, who pursues us every day of our lives. God has sworn by himself to be our God. He has sworn by himself that we will be his people. Now, the path of this covenant is not always smooth. In fact, often it is rocky, uphill, filled with detours along the way. But those things don't matter. At least not in the final analysis. What matters in the end is this, that God has made covenant with us. And God is always faithful, always. God always keeps God's promises, come what may. So we are on the cusp of another year. I'm sure that 2018 will be filled with highs, lows, normalcy, excitement, grief, and joy. At the start of another year, we often think about what we can do to make it a meaningful, faith-filled year in our journey with our Lord. It's good to think about such things. But as we prepare to greet the new year, as we prepare for another year of living into our covenant relationship with God, may we remember that our ability to follow Jesus does not rise and fall with us. It really depends on God, who will not deny himself or the promises that he has made. So may 2018 be a time when each of us is given eyes to see and ears to hear the good news of the gospel, that God is faithful always. And may our faithful God bless and keep each of us in 2018 and forevermore. Amen. Because God is faithful always, his name shall be blessed. We bless together the name of the Lord. God is always faithful, always. There is no greater sign of God's faithfulness to us than Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the grave. We gather together to meet the risen Jesus at this table. And whether we have carried them for days, weeks, months, years or longer, our Lord is calling each of us to lay all of our cares, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, all on his shoulders. It is from Jesus Christ that we receive nourishment for our journey as disciples. It is from him we receive courage and renewed faith to believe in his gospel. And this table, these elements, they do not belong to Kemne Parish Church. They do not belong to the Church of Scotland. No, these gifts belong to Jesus and to Jesus alone. And it is Jesus who is calling all who trust him, all who have faith in him, to partake of this feast. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord even just a little and would like to love him more. Come because Jesus loves you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution, faithfully recorded for us by St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke the bread and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper was over and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again in glory.'" We invite us to follow along with a great thanksgiving printed on your laminated sheets. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
Right, give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They shall perish, but you shall endure forever. You are always the same, and your years will never end. You made each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people, but we turned from you, leaving sin and death to reign. Still, you loved us and sought us out. In Jesus Christ, your grace defeated death and reopened the way to eternal life. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time and every place, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And with the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, redeemed by the Lord Jesus, we join our voices together in prayer with the very words our Lord taught to us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you.
May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace.
Our prayers for the world. Let's pray. Our Father, as we approach the end of 2017, we thank you for your goodness to us as a nation, where we are so fortunate in many ways. As this, your church here in Kemnay, part of the worldwide church, and as individuals, Lord, we have much to praise you for, and we do that with sincere hearts. Father, we have just been reminded in communion of your goodness to us in the provision of your Son to be our Saviour. We know you and love you as our God, one who has the deepest love and greatest concern for all the peoples of this planet. Lord, you're aware of everything that happens in this world. But Lord, you ask us to bring our petitions to you for all the things that concern us. So Lord, hear our prayers and answer them as you will. From time to time, natural disasters occur in different parts of the world. We don't understand why they occur, but we do see the effects so clearly as we watch the news bulletins on our TV screens. We all too often see the tear-stained faces of children in these situations, children who don't have sufficient food and clean water to enable them to live a normal life as we know it. Lord, we pray now for the children and people suffering from food deprivation and famine in several African countries. Bad weather and conflict continue to fuel record starvation levels in South Sudan, Somalia, and northern Nigeria. Lord, we pray for the people in these lands. We pray that conflict where it exists might cease so that farmers might be able to go about their business of providing much needed food. Lord, we're only too aware of the ongoing bombing and fighting in Syria. We pray that the situation there might stabilize to allow decent people there to rebuild their homes and lives. We pray for those who've lost loved ones in the recent atrocity in Kabul in Afghanistan. We pray for the people in war-torn Congo, where as many as 400,000 children face starvation. Again, we pray that peace might return to that land. We continue to pray for our sister church in Lebanon. We pray for the safety of those attending the church and their families. Closer to home, we pray for those who go out into our city at the weekends as street pastors. We pray that they might be kept safe as they try to share the love of Jesus with those they come in contact with. We pray for our minister Joshua and thank you again for the freedom he has to visit the schools here in Kemnay. May he always find the children and teachers receptive and attentive to what he has to say. As we pray for others, we're aware of our own shortcomings and ask your forgiveness for those all too often times when we let you down by our actions and words. Lord, when we consider all these things, we acknowledge your goodness to us in many ways. We thank you for the comfortable homes, our jobs, our schools, loving families, the village we live on, and so much more. We continue to pray for the government, and we pray that those elected to serve in Parliament and local council might look to you for guidance in all their decision making. Lord, continue to bless us as we leave this year and enter anew with the words of the Apostle Paul to encourage us. If we are faithless, he will remain faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Lord Jesus, accept our prayers, we pray, in his name, amen.
Speaking of God's ever-present faithfulness to us, it seems only fitting and only right we conclude our service today with singing one of the great hymns, Great is Thy Faithfulness.